Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
So hopefully this will relate to everyone. I want to start by saying how humbled I am by this calling to be a mom to the five wonderful children that God has given me. I feel truly blessed and honored to be living out my calling as a mother and to have the privilege of giving birth to and caring for each one of them as a baby and raising them as they grow. They each have a unique calling on their lives, as we all do, and were made with an important purpose in this world as well as in Malkut HaShemayim, the kingdom of heaven. Like we read in Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." So it is my awesome responsibility to guide them into their calling. And what a high and unique calling it is to be a mother. Let's face the facts. Without mothers, there would be no life. There would be no babies, no humanity, no people. We moms are vitally important for the world and for Malkut HaShemayim. But now I know that as a mom, it doesn't always feel like that. The reality is that we don't always feel all that important. When we're in the daily grind of menial tasks like scrubbing toilets, wiping tushes, cooking dinner, cleaning up sticky spills, picking up Lego pieces that you step on in the middle of the night, doing piles and piles of laundry, holding a fussy baby that just won't fall asleep, telling your child for the 100th time to go to bed. Maybe that's just me, I know. Even after 5 children, we still have not figured bedtime out. Helping them with schoolwork, doctor's appointments, chauffeuring from activity to activity, and the list goes on and on. And I know dads do all these things too, so you can relate as well. In those moments, it's easy to lose sight of the higher calling and to just feel insignificant. But that is not from God. It is the enemy who would have us think that. The enemy is not for life or for babies. So he tries to tear us down and make us believe that we are unimportant, insignificant, and replaceable. And he does it in so many different subtle ways, by twisting society's view of motherhood, of family, and of children, so that raising children becomes a burden and being a mom seems insignificant in comparison to other aspirations and dreams that we may have. But God's perspective is not that way. I find this verse very encouraging, which speaks to me as a mom. From Psalm 127:3, "Children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is her reward." So we know that being a mom is vitally important in this world and for building God's kingdom. To raise up the next generation of Messiah followers, it is a significant job and calling. But here's what I really want to focus on today. I often feel not just overwhelmed by this awesome responsibility, but overwhelmingly unequipped for the calling. Now, this is just me being real with you. I often feel like I don't have enough energy or time or arms to do all the things I need to get done in a day. Oh, how I wish that I were an octopus and had 8 arms. I say that all the time. Here are some other examples of moments when I feel overwhelmed, and I'm sure some other moms out there can relate. Taking all the kids shopping at the grocery store, then having a child or two melt down at the checkout aisle, then trying to carry the dozens of shopping bags plus a screaming child out to the car, or taking care of a sick child in the middle of the night when you're so tired, or trying to get everyone dressed and ready and out the door for school or services on time. Now that is really hard to do. And sometimes when I get very overwhelmed in the moment, and when I'm weak, I can fall into the trap of feeling defeated or unable to handle the given situation. This again is another lie that whispers to me that I don't have what it takes or I'm not equipped for the job that God has called me to. And I know that this isn't true, because here is the truth. God has all the resources that we need to equip us for this calling, and he promises never to leave us or forsake us, and he does for you too. Rav Shul says in Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. So how does he equip us? Well, I'm going to share about four different ways that he equips us mothers for our calling, but this also refers to fathers and to other roles too. So, number one, he gave us the Torah as a resource with real and practical tips, like don't provoke your child to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And put on the full armor of God so you can take a stand against the enemy's schemes. Or in Deuteronomy 6, from the Shema, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you're sitting in your home and when you're walking on the way, when you're lying down and when you rise up. Don't get me wrong, I love parenting books. I have a whole bookshelf of them. But I found that the Bible is really our family's best parenting handbook, with practical advice and wisdom for mothering and raising our children to walk in the ways of God and to follow his commandments, to walk on the path that leads to life everlasting. Also, he equips us with the Ruach HaKodesh to dwell inside of us, to guide and help us. Now, as we're approaching the time of Shavuot, it is a great time to remind ourselves of the role of the Ruach HaKodesh in our lives. And for those of you who were there at the Healing Conference a few weeks ago, you can attest to how active the Ruach is today. We prayed for an outpouring and a refilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, and it was tangible in this room. We could feel his presence in a very powerful way. And the Ruach can help us feel peace during those moments when we feel overwhelmed, and help us to be more patient and loving, and can remind us of what's really important. Another way that God equips us is by giving us wisdom for how to live out our calling. But we really have to ask. And when we ask for guidance, he will answer us. We know from the example of King Solomon that God desires for us to ask for wisdom and desires to help us. In James or Yaakov 1:5, it says, now, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask for it from God, who gives to all without reservation and not reproaching, and it will be given to you. Find Blanky. Okay. So ask God to help you with your mothering. One time, when one of my kids was having a discipline problem, not listening to my instruction and being disrespectful, I kept coming down hard and being strict. But later on, when I prayed and asked God for wisdom, he showed me that she was really acting out because she was feeling insignificant and was just crying out for attention. So I spent some quality time with her, and it made a huge difference. We often forget in the moment to pray and ask for guidance, but it really does help. And lastly, I have learned that God gives us relationships with others, family, friends, and community, to help equip us for the calling. I personally need encouragement and support from other moms who are in the thick of it, just like me, and from veteran moms whose kids are grown up and have the wisdom of perspective now to share with me. But I have really learned that I can't go at it alone. Something Judith McNutt shared in her teaching last week really stuck out to me. She was saying that one of the highest emotional problems people suffer from is depression, which often stems from isolation and feeling alone. So what I'm learning is that I need to not be afraid to reach out, to be a friend, If other moms feel just as isolated as me, then why not reach out? We need each other. A few years back, I had a mom friend who was going through a really hard time, and I would try to reach out to her with encouragement and support, but she kept pulling away more and more, like not responding to my phone calls and texts. I started to take it personally. I thought maybe she was just too busy for me or didn't want to be my friend anymore. Then later, when I finally talked to her, she told me that she tends to withdraw from people when she's having a hard time. She retreats instead of reaching out. And I think this is very common in our society these days. So often women try to take it all on our own. We think we need to be supermom. We don't like people to see our weaknesses, our flaws, who we really are. We're afraid that people won't like us if they really know this about us. And so we hide and retreat in fear, or put on a mask rather than reach out to others to ask for help or let people know that we're feeling weak and vulnerable. As I was thinking of ideas for this message, I was trying to think of a matriarch that I could use to share my lesson. Well, because we're getting close to Shavuot, I thought of Naomi. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that she relates very well to this topic. Naomi lived with her family in Bethlehem, but when a bad drought came to the region, her husband chose to move the family away to the foreign land of Moab. Well, they lived there for a long time, long enough for her sons to marry Moabite women. However, when things took a turn for the worst, first she lost her husband, then she lost her two sons, Malon and Kilion. She was feeling very alone and isolated. For a woman during biblical times, this was basically like losing everything. So Naomi was going through a really hard time, and she was bitter and grief-stricken. She didn't want anyone to be with her. She pushed everyone away. She told her daughters-in-law to go away, to leave her and not come with her. In fact, she turned them away three times, saying, "Go home, my daughters. No, my daughters, for it is much more bitter for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Ruth 1:13. She wanted to be alone and probably wanted to wallow in her self-pity. And I get it. I've been there before. But Ruth persisted and would not leave her alone. So we see here in Ruth a perfect example of how we should reach out to one another, saying, "I'm here for you, no matter what you're suffering or going through. And you don't have to pretend to have it all together. You can cry on my shoulder. You can try to push me away, but I'll still be here for you. I'm not going anywhere. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I'll stay." Then it says, "And Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, so she stopped speaking to her. She very reluctantly allowed Ruth to follow her because of Ruth's persistence." Don't we all need a friend like Ruth? But at the same time, we also need to be that friend to others as well. And I personally don't think Naomi would have even made it back to Bethlehem on that long journey if she were alone. So she really did need Ruth, even though she didn't realize or wouldn't admit it. Again, just like we need each other. In fact, I think God designed us that way, to need other people, to be in relationship with others, to be in community, not to be isolated and alone. Now, when they made it back to Bethlehem, this is when we see more of Naomi's bitterness. In a way, I think she blamed God. "Don't call me Naomi," she said, which means pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter, "for El Shaddai has dealt very bitterly with me." But think about it. You have to believe in God in order to blame him or be angry with him, right? Now again, we can relate to what Naomi was probably feeling. She was likely worried what others would think of her, afraid of not being welcomed in her hometown, of being shunned for leaving and going to Moab. She knew they might talk about her behind her back, saying that maybe her family brought the tragedy upon themselves by disobeying God, moving to the foreign land of Moab and intermarrying with the Moabites, which was strictly forbidden. And we know how women can be sometimes, gossiping and catty like that. But she became paralyzed by those fears and unable to reach out to her old friends or to even give them a chance. See, Naomi is responding to her suffering by withdrawing rather than reaching out. And again, Ruth steps in and helps her out, even though she doesn't ask for help. She goes out to the fields to glean wheat so they will have something to eat, so they will not starve. And it's not until Ruth comes back from gleaning in the fields that first day that Naomi finally starts to get it. She sees that she has family still who are willing to help her in her time of need. Naomi sees the kindness in her relative Boaz, and that probably helped her to realize that it's okay to get help from others, that there are people willing to help, to see her need for community. And let's look at Boaz for a moment. He was such an example of loving your neighbor and living out the commandment of tzedakah when he says, "Let her glean also among the sheaves, and do not embarrass her. And also, pretend to forget some of the bundles for her, and leave it so that she may glean, and do not scold her." Boaz was reaching out to Ruth, who he saw was vulnerable, weak, and needed help. And we all know the happy ending to the story. Naomi was redeemed and blessed with a grandson, who became the direct ancestor to the lineage of King David, and ultimately the lineage of Yeshua. See, God really can redeem all things, even our greatest sorrows and trials. So it is important to be a part of a community. We're so blessed here at Ruach Israel. But I know for me, seeing you all just once a week on Saturday is not enough. I love hosting our weekly Bible study and Shabbat dinners, even if it means letting people see my messy house with dishes piled up in the sink, toys all over the dirty floor, and serving simple snacks like chips and salsa rather than fancy appetizers. And this leads to my last and final point. We don't need to strive for perfection. We don't need to be perfect moms because God loves our imperfections and uses us anyways. Besides, we can never be perfect. We'll always mess up and have our earthly human limitations. But that's okay. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "God's grace is sufficient for us because his power is made perfect in our weakness." I've learned that I can't do it without God. I'm humbly reminded of that. When I try to get through one day on my own strength, I am just exhausted and it isn't possible. What a relief that when I feel weak, which is most of the time, that when I call out to him for help, his power is even greater. And God's grace is even bigger than our fears that we have. Fears that we can't do it, that it's too hard, that we'll fail as a mom, that we're going to mess up our kids, that everyone else's kids are doing better than ours. And because I've learned so much about childhood trauma and inner healing, I far too often feel worried that I will mess up my children. But let's just face it, those are lies. When I say those statements out loud, I recognize that. But somehow, in the moment of weakness, as I think those thoughts, they almost sound believable. Remember, the enemy wants us to feel weak, to feel alone, to feel insignificant and isolated, because then we have less power, less influence, and less impact in shaping the lives of our children. Our imperfections and our fears can look like giant obstacles in comparison to our own strengths and abilities. But that's not what we have to compare them to. Our fears are actually tiny, minuscule specks in comparison to the Almighty God, our Messiah, who stands by our side, who stands for us, not against us. And we simply cannot take on the trials and challenges and struggles that inevitably come, not with our own strength alone, but girded with the strength of the Lord and in his mighty power. There's a book I've been reading this year called Becoming Mom Strong by Heidi St. John. Her motto is that she's trying to encourage mom in these three callings: to be strong in the Lord, to know who you are, and to impart that strength to your kids. So that is my commission to all you mothers and future mothers and spiritual mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and to all of us. Let's be courageous and strong in the Lord. Let's look to God as the source of our strength and ask God and the Ruach HaKodesh for wisdom and guidance. Let's be faithful and good friends, reaching out to others in their time of need, like Ruth and Boaz. Let's remember that we don't have to go at it alone. And let's be vulnerable and willing to ask for help, both from God and from others, when we need it. And remember that God has equipped us for this calling. And even when we feel overwhelmed by the task, we should remember from Philippians 1:6, be confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Happy Mother's Day and Shabbat Shalom.
Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah.